This is Today in Money. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Are the stock markets in a sort of a cycle when they hit mid-August?
Yeah, we've had a bunch of turbulent cyclic events sort of converge here, and it's part and parcel to my annual forecast model, which I put out every year. As you recall, last week we talked about the August 12th solar eclipse, which we just passed yesterday. We had the full moon. We have a whole series of natural disasters that have been unfolding here. Yeah. It's really sort of crazy. It's hard to summarize all of them, but we have had in this period, this August period, we just had, I'm just going to summarize for you, there's a global disaster update, I guess, so to speak. We just had a major earthquake in Colombia. That was today, in fact. Greece is experiencing threatening wildfires right now. Japan is experiencing record rain and flooding right now with some landslide disasters. China, there's Typhoon Dolphin flooding occurring right now. In the Midwest here in the U.S., several storms and major floods are underway. Sicily, we don't talk too much about volcanoes, though that's been a big part of our conversation, but Mount Etna is now in its seventh day of sustained erupt activity, okay? There's also an environmental disaster occurring now in Oman. A tanker, Caroline Basenge, it's called, carrying about 800,000 barrels of Russian crude oil, ran aground off Oman and has been leaking oil right now. There's a ferry disaster today in Zimbabwe, of all places. Apparently 46 people were killed. Europe is experiencing extreme heat and drought right now. There's a developing tropical threat in Hawaii right now. So, you know, we can run out of breath here going on what's going on. Meanwhile, you see, the stock market rallying here in the U.S., though not all markets had confirmed. So we are getting some negative divergences, as I like to call them. And we have the Fed Jackson Hole meeting coming at the end of the month at the 28th, and my model indicated the market should be peaking here in August. And this is all in, synchrony, so to speak, with all these natural events that are going on around us at the same time. You know, we've seen times in the past where hurricanes are hitting, but the stock market goes up anyway. So the stock market does its own thing. It was manipulated. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference. But the cycles indicated this would be a turbulent period. When I watch financial television, everybody is super optimistic, calling for much higher prices. Meanwhile, we're in the time frame for a peak. So just a lot of stuff going on. And then we've got, an interesting story today where NASA is coming out and suddenly talking about an actual moon base that they want to build. The truth is we've been on the moon. We've had a base there for many years. There's been a huge cover-up, and we can spend an hour about the secret space program that exists and all the documentation that I have here that's been reported over the years about our secret fleet of operations and what's going on. So another big lie, here with NASA admitting something which has already been done, and on and on and on. So I bring that up because it's sort of geocosmic in a way, but it's part and parcel to the, government cover-up that's been underway for decades, so many things related to space and our secret space operations. We're all going to pay the piper for this at some point. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to come down, but those who check my website see some of the videos and stuff up there describing that, and people say, well, what the heck does that have to do with the stock market? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because government secrecy, we have economic figures producer price index, all this stuff that's released, and none of it, I believe, for a moment. I don't believe any government statistics or any government reports. You have to do your own homework and own research. So it's all part and parcel to believing what you're really hearing and doing your own research. So, you know, I just throw that out because it's part of my contrary thinking for many decades. So anyway, that's sort of the summary. Just a lot of stuff going on there geocosmically, actually physically here with some natural disasters, and even this oil spill that I just reported, and that we're in a crazy period here in August.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's going on in the bond market? Is it reacting to all this?
It changes day to day. Rates were upticking a little bit, but net, they're pretty much have held. I think those are the 10 years around that 4.7%. I have to double check that number. Everybody's focusing on that. Of course, the bond market is, you know, really the tail wagging the dog. We all, you know, have to, you know, tolerate all the commentary moment to moment about what interest rates are doing and what the Fed is going to do and not do. But the truth is the 30-year bond, which is really the main indicator of interest rates, just on a short-term basis, since June 25th, it's been in a slow zigzag downtrend. And when the bonds are downtrending, that tells you what's happening. It tells you that rates are sort of upticking here a little bit. So I guess the bond market really didn't believe, you know, Kevin Warsh and what he was saying about stability in the economy and his new plan for interest rates, or no plan for interest rate changes. So, you know, and on a one-day basis, you had a little pop today in the bond market, which says maybe the rates downticked a little bit today. So the real funny part about this is, you know, rates have been sort of elevated here for, you know, period of time. And a lot of it's concerned about inflation. I mean, basically the bond market, I'm looking here since November of last year, overall has been in the downtrend, which means higher rates. But during this period, the stock market has still gone up. You've seen, you know, major corporate investment in AI and, you know, power centers and all this, nonsense that you hear about constantly. And meanwhile, the major averages for the most part have moved overall to new highs. So to answer your question is, what the heck does interest rates really have to do with what the market's doing? And normally you would think it would have a great deal, but really it has none. So I suppose if rates really exploded in some significant way, I guess there'll be some jolt and some impact at that point. But I think, you know, we're getting government intervention. In fact, we just saw it with Japan. I mean, we've had the yen carry trade fear, you know, unwinding, you know, with the instability in the yen, and the fact that Japan has been saying they were going to raise rates, but didn't really go any further. And there was some potential unwinding of the carry trade. And we just pretty much heard that the U.S. and I think some other central bank intervened to try to keep the Japanese situation under control. And this all roundabout way is just the same discussion about interest rates, trying to control that rates don't, you know, get out of hand to the upside. But apparently we still have that magic computer out there that you could hit a button and print money and flood the economy with money and send it overseas or whatever needs to be done to keep things under control. So just gross government manipulation here in every way, shape, and form is underway. Government cover-ups, inaccurate economic reporting, bailing out foreign government the problems, as we're seeing in Japan. I mean, it's just a circus, which is almost beyond description. We can't even get into details in a short interview what's going on. So the bottom line is, you know, manipulation, news manipulation is all underway here. It's to suppress the truth about what's really happening or to keep things under control. And, of course, we have political reasons for that. So here we are, you know, watching the stock market still stay up in the face of these rates. But as I've mentioned at the top of the call, we are in a cyclic peaking period. So I'd be careful.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Always consult your investment professional before making any investment decision. Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovitz. Mark, is gold holding up?
You know, where I put out my report here in the last couple of weeks, and apparently other people seem to agree with it. I've seen it all over the internet. You know, I have a target of gold in U.S. dollars of $38,000 an ounce. And where are we sitting now? Around $4,375 an ounce. So obviously, I'm looking for about the 1,000% increase in gold here. It's probably going to take several years for that to happen unless there's some dramatic incredible event, which could be, you know, some black swan event or something. You know, we suddenly have government disclosure that we have alien presence here on the earth or something, which has been the case, but they won't admit it. I mean, things like that could happen, I suppose. That could take gold through the roof immediately, but I think it's going up. Basically, we had a little technical rally here. My model is overall positive. Gold rallied from about U.S. dollars from 3,900 to about 4,400, which is a little technical bounce. And if you're looking at the charts, you know, you want to see about the 4,200 level hold. If not, then I guess they could try to test the 3,900 level and even get eventually down to that 3,500 level, which everybody's been talking about. And then when everybody was talking about it, the market fooled them and took off to the upside, which is what happened here in the last week or so. So, but it's irrelevant because the nature of our debt, the nature of the geopolitical situation, maybe even the geocosmic situation is such that, you know, gold's going higher. We have potential increased up war risks all over the place. Ukraine persists. The Mid East persists. Europe wants war for whatever reason. You know, they feel that Russia is going to take them over. Of course, Europe's been at Russia several times in the past 100 years, and every time they lost. So if they try it again, they're going to lose again. But that's a whole other discussion. In any event, the gold market is super positive. Hang in there. What you got to figure out is how to protect your gold. And one of the things we don't really talk about, we have to evaluate the risk of potential government confiscation of gold. Where do you keep it? Do you only trade ETFs and avoid the physical? And if you have the physical, do you keep it yourself or store it in some other location? There's some services now that offer digitized gold, where apparently you don't actually have the physical gold, but you can own it in a digital format. On and on and on, but I think, you know, you have to have a balance. You probably have to have physical ETFs and everything else, but the trend's up. I'm super bull. Just, you have to be patient. Of course, that's been the story with gold for years, but you also have to pay attention to many of the gold shares, the companies that can actually mine gold, because they're making money hand over fist with based on even the current price of gold. And can you imagine what they could be make if gold goes up to these higher levels? Even if you want to use conservative targets or $10,000, $12,000, or $14,000 an ounce, and we're talking a reasonable time frame. You know, we're talking anywhere from 2 to 5 year time frame here. We're not talking 20-30 year type situation. And like I say, some black swan or some other event could suddenly precipitate a more dramatic move sooner rather than later. So I'm giving you a long-winded answer, but hang in there and buy on weakness.
Copper, is it the new precious metal?
Some are saying that, you know, because copper went to new highs and sort of stood out compared to the other metals, you know, where the other metals weren't making new highs. I don't want to call it precious metals because how far can it go? And it's more abundant than gold, so I don't think it could be called precious, but it's definitely needed and you know, part of supply. One thing to keep in mind, though, I did hear an interesting interview. You know, apparently, you know, copper has been used, you know, for transmission of power and data and so forth for so many years, and apparently there's other technologies. Light laser or similar type technologies out there that you don't need the actual physical metal like copper to actually use as a conduit for communications and power and so forth. So as this technology becomes more prevalent, I think the need for the physical metal may be reduced somewhat because of the new technology out there about transmitting power. So this is something that I had just read. I thought it was interesting. Not to say, you know, copper is going to disappear or anything, but there are alternatives to copper versus the physical metal, just something to keep in mind. But yes, it's been doing well, copper to new highs, holding up a lot of demand for it because of all the construction underway with the data centers and so forth and so on. So there's no reason to be bearish on it. It's just that it has been, you know, sort of standout, so to speak, compared to the other metals. And when you compare it to platinum, palladium, you know, gold, silver, and others, which, you know, are all needed in the technological process. But, you know, maybe we didn't have enough copper around. Maybe the suppliers were caught shorthanded and it really forced prices up at a time when demand increased unexpectedly. So that might explain why it outperformed the other metals.
Do you think there's going to be a huge backlash against all these AI data centers because of the amount of energy they use and water?
There already has been.
Mm-hmm.
But some are successful and some not. I mean, I heard an interview yesterday. Depends where they're located. There's a big complex being built up in, I think, it's South Dakota or North Dakota, and the mayor of the town was on the phone, and he was ecstatic about it because they had a tiny little town of a couple thousand people, and it was a huge boom to that community in terms of jobs and so forth. And then in some more populous areas, you're getting little, you know, pushback on the data centers because of the fear of, you know, the water or the fact that their energy bills may go up. So here's the problem. The problem is you've got the government, huge companies, you name them, all the high-tech, mega, Mag 7, big companies putting money into this thing. And, you know, money controls the world, unfortunately, and the power behind that. And, you know, you bribe a few people and you pay off a few dissenters and suddenly you go ahead with the project. So billions and billions are being, maybe a trillion is being thrown at this thing. And whether it's the right project or not, I personally feel we have a lot of secret technology out there. And this gets into my whole conspiracy theory about, extraterrestrials and the reconstruction, re-engineering or reverse engineering of alien technology, which is a very real fact, though nobody wants to officially admit it. And we may have a lot of alternative powers and sources of energy besides these data center power operations, which are being built right now. And it may be a big surprise one day if some of this alternative technology actually is disclosed, that these new constructions might be obsolete, believe it or not. That's even a possibility. But for the time being, since so much of the secret technology is being suppressed and they're using these current data center builds, you know, when you think about it, it's an economic situation. Most of the money that's been shown in the stock market, or profit in the stock market, has been related to the expenditure by these big companies into this area, and it's distorted with the real economy. In other words, if we didn't have this AI boom and all this money being thrown to build these data centers and to all the suppliers, if that didn't happen, we probably would have been in a recession, and the stock market probably would have gone down. So it's sort of a force majeure type situation. You know, it's like being made to happen, and maybe it's all intentionally to support the economy, and it's just another, you know, like the internet boom, the dot-com boom we saw back at the turn of the century. It's just another big phase that we're going through, and it's a lot of money being thrown at something, and it's, you know, in a way, a big form of, you know, financial and industrial manipulation underway. So we just say, hey, let's build these things and spend a lot of money, and we can support the economy and give people work, and let's do it. You know, whether it's the ultimate or right thing to do, only time will tell. So I'm skeptical about it, honestly. I just think, you know, did we need all this these data centers, and do we need to really spend all this money, and is there really alternate technology that could have been employed that we didn't have to actually build these things? So there's a whole other discussion level here, and I guess I'm just a cynic, having been in the stock market for almost over 50 years, and watching all the manipulations of both news stories and economic reports and companies lying about what they're doing or not doing. So, you know, I'm always a skeptic about it, but the reality is it has worked for them. The market has gone up, money has been spent, and we're all going to find out whether it was the right thing to do or not. But to answer your question, honestly, Jim, the powers that be are making it happen, and groups of people could complain about it and try to stop these projects going forward, but ultimately I think the powers that be are too strong, and they have the will to make it happen just with the power of money.
Well, the big worry is that China will get ahead in the AI race, and whoever wins it wins the world's economy.
I don't even know if you can believe that story. Yeah. You know, is China really ahead of us? Did they steal our technology?
Well, they're good at that.
Did it make a difference? Yeah. I mean, what does it mean anything different if they're ahead or not ahead? I mean, are we really their enemies as is being portrayed? Some feel they are, some feel they're not. There's books written about how they want to conquer the world, take over the U.S. They've gone into Canada and taken over apparently a certain portion of the political control in Canada. I read that there was military operations by China in Canada, for example, that were condoned by your prime minister. All these theories and speculations about what the result of all that could be. Are they really the enemy, or it makes no difference anyway? I mean, we go on and on about all this. I don't know what to believe. All I know is when I visited China a few years ago, I've been there a couple times, they're so far in advance over the U.S. in terms of infrastructure and cleanliness, and just over the top. I mean, when I went there, everything is brand new and clean, and the streets are clean, and it's just like a sparkling city of the future that you can imagine in your imagination. When I went there, all the city, everything's, it's just, spick and span and new and beautiful. The roads, the highways were perfect. And here you drive in the U.S. and the roads are dirty, and there's slums, and there's all this, of course you could say they had some pollution because they didn't like the idea of cleaning their air as much. And there's in Shanghai and others that experience pollution. But for the most part, the whole cities that I saw, it was just remarkably unbelievable. It was like a new world. So when you look at that, you wonder, is everything about China so bad? I don't want to be I don't believe in communism, but on the other hand, you have a lot of capitalists making a lot of money in China. So you've got pseudo communists in a way, because they're out to make a profit. At the same time, they want to control people. But when you look at China and the progress they've made and the condition of the infrastructure and so forth, compared to what you see more or less here in the U.S., and I guess a portion of Canada or other parts of the world, it really is remarkable. So I was really impressed when I was there. I mean, it really stood out as something special. So anyway, whether they beat us at AI or they don't beat us at AI, or whether that's even a true story, you have to even question all that. I mean, the bottom line is they're all looking to gain power and money, and they all could be in cahoots. You know, they all could be working together. And just think about how we supposedly had an adversarial relationship with the Soviet Union and the Russians. Meanwhile, we're sharing cosmonauts and astronauts and the space station, and we're working together on space projects and all this other stuff. At the same time, supposedly there are mortal enemies and everybody hates the Russians. And turns out that's a bunch of nonsense, because on a higher level, on a technological level, we are working together. So you really can't believe the news. What's really happening is so far above what we really hear and know. It really is, it is really remarkable. And we can get into all these other discussions, which you'll probably get our listeners to hang up. So I'm not going to pursue any further.
Well, Mark, no one's censoring us, at least we don't know if they are once we post it online. Maybe they are
snipping bits out. They just turn it off. They don't want to hear it anymore. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just telling you that I think at the highest levels, the governments are working together in ways that are not being disclosed. And I can get into more detail about that and speculate at some future point. So the day-to-day news that we hear and what's really happening in terms of the higher-level discussions and higher-level projects, it really is frustrating because, you know, it's all a question of crowd control, mass control, media control. It's all part and parcel to governments, the way they operate. So here we are as mortals here trying to figure out what's really happening and trying to make a living and stay healthy and you know, live our lives out, because obviously we can't do much to make the changes that we'd like to see change. So we'll just have to leave it at that.
Mark, always fun chatting with you.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week, Jim. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for being on Today in Money. My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. You can find us on X at House Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Questions or comments for the show can be sent to info@HouseStreet.com. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening. Comments made on Today in Money are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Today in Money is a production of House Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer, Tom Allen.